Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, where you can hear us here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area, WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New York, Cable Radio Network, and, of course, Transformation Talk Radio. Hello, Benny. How are you today?
Oh, good day, Christine. Doing very well. Thank you.
That's good. You know, Benny, it was sort of an unusual week for me because one of my babies graduated from high school.
I saw the postings on Facebook, and congratulations to really the both of you.
Thank you.
It's got to be tough to let a little one go.
You know, it's funny. I think that with parenting, Benny, it's a matter of, I mean, all the transformations, all the transitions are bittersweet. Because there's the letting go of the old and the welcoming of the new. And I just love who he is and who he's becoming. And so I'm so proud of him. And I do want to let go as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, you know, I'm also mourning the loss of my toddler and my preschooler and, you know, all the way up.
I know.
And but it's perfect. And he's an interesting fellow, not your typical high school student. Very interested in consciousness and cosmology and, you know, seeking truth in a very different sort of way. So,
do you still, like, if he's got a little smudge of something on his face, do you still lick your finger? And like,
I try to avoid that.
Bob, you've attempted.
Well, you know, it's
secrets
funny because
out.
I try to respect my children's
sure.
space.
They're bubbles.
Absolutely.
Especially now.
And it's perfect.
Right.
But it was a wonderful week.
Very good. Well,
and
congratulations.
This week I'm feeling a little bit hoarse. I've had a bit of a chest thing going on. So it's, you know, I'm hoping that I make it through the show without sounding a little like a frog.
But, you'll be fine. You had a lot going on, so.
Yeah. And sometimes I think that stress can sort of add to our, you know, teetering on the edge of balance versus imbalance. And I'm sure we're going to be talking about stress in the conversation today because my guest today has some insightful things to say about stress, perception, and imagination. Now, today I am interviewing Austin Vickers. Now, Austin is the writer and producer of the movie, The People Versus the State of Illusion. Now, I first previewed this movie, I don't know, maybe a year ago. I'm not exactly sure when it first previewed here in Seattle, but I was so impressed with the movie. I mean, it's a very powerful, poignant movie, and I was also really impressed because I got to meet Austin Vickers, and I was so impressed with his integrity, choosing to step up to his authentic self and express his perception of truth and to be true to himself. And so I was so impressed. I knew that eventually I needed to have him on my show. Now, today we're going to be talking about science and power of imagination, because when we begin to recognize the patterns of our thoughts and we recognize that our imagination can take us into new patterns. Now, Austin Vickers, he has not exactly taken a direct route to a writer-producer of a movie such as this. He began as a trial lawyer, and he worked for one of the largest law firms in the world. He then moved on to an international corporate law practice within a division of the Colgate-Palmolive Company. So, you know, very mainstream career. And in September of 2000, Austin resigned his position at Colgate to focus on what he calls his passion for guiding the vision and development of people and organizations. He's the creator and director of The Center, a leadership training facility in Phoenix, Arizona. He's the co-founder of the Human Process Mastery Institute, which is a personal leadership program. And for the last decade, he has been entertaining and educating audiences across North America, delivering keynotes and leadership training programs to some of the world's leading corporations, including lots of Fortune 500 executives. He also has an active interest in working for and on behalf of women, children, and the homeless. And back in 1990, he was awarded the State Bar of California's highest pro bono award for his work with the homeless. He offers online leadership training programs free of charge to women and men in homeless shelters. So he's got a passion for helping those who are less fortunate. But he's also speaking to those of us in the mainstream and has so much to offer us. He is the author of Stepping Up to Vision, Passion, and Authentic Power, a personal leadership program. And he is the writer and producer of the movie, the wonderful movie, The People Versus the State of Illusion, which features Dr. Joe Dispenza, Dr. Candace Pert, Thomas More, Debbie Ford, and many others. It's an illuminating movie, and I would like to welcome Austin Vickers. Austin, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Christine, for having me on the show today. It's really a joy and a pleasure to be here.
You know, Austin, I've watched this movie numerous times, and I get something more and more out of it each time. Before we get into the movie, though, I want to know, how did you go from mainstream, high-powered attorney to somebody who's focusing on things such as perception and authentic power?
Well, you know, I like to joke sometimes when I'm speaking about it because I get that question a lot, and I tell people a little bit about my background. I actually grew up in Canada, and my parents were pioneers in the alternative health field. So when I was very young, they opened a holistic therapy center up in Canada and were very involved in really what today is considered to be naturopathic medicine. But, of course, way back in the 70s, and it was in its infancy. And so my parents were very kind of open-minded, liberal people, and I think becoming a lawyer was my childhood form of rebellion.
Yes, no, we're not our parents, right? We work really hard not to be our parents.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I tell people, you know, if I would have said to my parents in high school, listen, I'm going over to my girlfriend's house, we're going to have sex and smoke pot all night, I'll be home at 7 o'clock in the morning, that would have been perfectly okay. So I knew the only way I could really get back at them was becoming a lawyer, doing something like that.
Right. So there you were, an attorney, and you were involved in some very high-powered, high-profile cases, right?
Yeah, I did a lot. I worked out of Los Angeles and worked for the 8th largest law firm in the world, and we did, you know, kind of big business litigation and for a number of years. And then I went to, after that, I went into work in international corporate law for the Colgate-Palmolive company. Uh-huh. But all the while that I was a commercial litigator and a lawyer, I studied the subjects of psychology and philosophy and consciousness theories and especially science, quantum physics, neurobiology. I've always been fascinated by the intersection where those disciplines come together and what the implications of that are for all of us, you know, for the way that we live our lives and what contributes to success or failure.
So, you know, Austin, in the movie The People Versus the State of Illusion, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of exemplification of how our perception shapes our reality. Why do you focus so much on perception?
Well, I think, you know, when I was doing a lot of my own research on the subject many years ago, what really struck me was how much we overestimate the validity of our own perception and how much we underestimate how much imagination is really playing into that.
Right.
You know, for example, we present in the movie the fact that in the course of a given day, we typically receive billions of bits of information that come in through all of our senses. But yet what rises to the level of our awareness is literally less than 1/1,000th of 1%.
It's shocking. We think that, you know, since we were there and, you know, having this experience, that we've perceived all there is of that reality. And yet it's just almost none of it.
Yeah, we perceived almost none of it. It's closer to zero, our percentage of an event or a circumstance really than, like I said, even 1/1000th of 1%. And once you start to realize and understand the actual construction, that the way that the brain actually perceives information and the processes of deletion and distortion that go on inside the brain, you know, you have to seriously question the way that you perceive the world. And once you do that, of course, it drives an accountability and a responsibility to understand that, boy, you know, maybe the way that I am looking at the world isn't so much a reflection of how the world is, but rather is a reflection of me. And that's a very sobering moment, the moment we realize that.
Right. So if our perceptions are wrong, then what we view as reality truly isn't reality.
Yeah, I don't think it's accurate to say that they're wrong. They're just not complete by any measure of, you know, to the point that we should rely so heavily upon it. I mean, the best metaphor I have to use for that, I went on a hike a number of years ago on a mountain with a group of people, and we were all took our own cameras and were taking pictures as we hiked to the mountaintop. And at the end of the day, we all got together and kind of shared each other's pictures. And what struck me was how different they all were. You know, everybody had a totally different picture of really the same thing, because we kept snapping pictures of this mountaintop. Well, life is kind of exactly the same way. You know, each one of those pictures is an accurate representation of that exact moment in space and time and from that point of view, but it's not an accurate description of the mountaintop that we're actually looking at, because, of course, there's you know, billions of possible perspectives of that mountaintop.
Right.
So our own relative perception is true for us, but it's not true for the rest of the world. It's not true for the way that things are, the way that things, you know, can be or ought to be, or et cetera. And that's where we run into trouble sometimes, is we want our perception of the world to be embraced by everybody else. And, of course, that creates conflict. Most of the conflict in the world, and it also takes away from people their own experience.
Right. And when you're talking about perception, we're not just talking about the facts, such as what does that mountaintop look like, but, you know, what does somebody's behavior mean to us? I mean, there's so many nuances of our perception, and it affects our emotional interior. It affects our, you know, how we react and the choices that we make.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, we attach a meaning or a story to literally everything that we experience, and not even the obvious ones. I mean, the obvious ones is if I come back and I get into a conversation with my partner or my children, and then I walk away from that and I start thinking about what that meant. You know, that's the obvious one.
Right.
But there's a whole slew of attachments of meanings and ideas and stories that we give to almost everything in our lives that usually is operating unconsciously or subconsciously. And those meanings and those stories have a profound influence on the way that we're perceived in the world, the way the world responds to us, and the success or failure that gets created as a result of it.
Right. Well, this is a fascinating conversation. I'll be back in just a few moments with Austin Vickers. We'll talk more about perception and stepping into authentic power.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you looking for positive answers to tough questions in your personal and professional life? On Purpose Radio with Karen Florence is a riveting show that will help you reveal your own truth and begin to live the life you've always wanted. Karen's dynamic approach to coaching people in all areas of their lives has made her one of the most sought-after coaches today. Tune in each Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit OnPurposeRadio.com.
Dr. Joe Dispenza, best-selling author of Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and co-star of the hit movie What the Bleep, is bringing his progressive workshop to Seattle June 28th through 30th. In this transformational workshop, Dr. Joe will help you to release those thoughts, habits, and emotions that get in the way of living the life you deserve and empower you to step into a new level of being. Join Dr. Joe June 28th through 30th in Seattle. For more information, visit drjoedispenza.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit thetruthisfunny.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm your host, Christine Upchurch, and we're talking to you from the KKNW AM 1150 studios here in Seattle at Sandusky Radio. And I'm talking to Austin Vickers today. He is the writer and producer of the wonderful movie, The People versus the State of Illusion. Now, Austin, before the break, we were chatting about how our perception is based on very little of the information that is actually there. Almost, you know, less than 1/1000th of a percentage, did you say before?
Yeah.
And so how can our perceptions actually imprison us?
Well, when we get back into this idea that what we are experiencing is, you know, real or is the way that something actually is, and then, of course, we come up across a different perception with somebody that we love, a child, our partners, our boss, or a work perspective, and a conflict is created, you know, so much of thinking in the way of the world is a perception of that other party to get them to see the way that we're seeing something. And of course, that's often what they're doing with us. And that pattern creates conflict. It creates a power struggle that often is resorted to in terms of violence. I mean, we outline a number of different statistics in the beginning of the film. In terms of the way that people respond to issues. Or if we don't respond in violence, then we sometimes internalize that conflict and it starts to show up in the form of disease. It starts to show up in the form of cancers and stress in different ways. And I think one of the things we're trying to do with this film is help people understand, look, if you understand the mechanics of perception and understand how much imagination is playing a role in the way that what we think is real, you wouldn't get into those conflict battles. What you would spend more time doing is trying to find imaginative responses that build the bridge between differing perceptions.
Right. So finding common ground there is key. And it's possible if you recognize that my perception isn't necessarily the same as another person's perception, and neither of them are right or wrong.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. It's never about right and wrong. It's more just about, you know, how is somebody else seeing it, and how can I even think differently? One of the scientists that I, of course, love and the world loves is Albert Einstein.
Uh-huh.
And one of the principles of Albert Einstein that he taught that I believe is applicable to most human conflict and most problems is that the solution to any problem actually is always embedded within the problem itself.
Uh-huh.
So rather than sometimes going away from these problems or going away from the conflict, I think we have to get better at taking an imaginative mind towards the problem. And once we start to look within it and deepen our perception of it, it's often that we will actually find very elegant solutions that really resolve that problem in a way that is inspiring to everybody involved.
Well, that seems very profound, because I think people have a tendency to want to push away or run away from conflict, from disagreement. And you're actually saying that it should be an invitation to not only address it, but embrace it.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, if you think about the world of ideas that you live in, you know, I mean, right now, you and all of your listeners, you're all wearing clothes. They were somebody's idea. You're maybe sitting in a chair.
Uh-huh.
That was just somebody's idea or imagination. You're sitting in a room that was probably somebody's idea or imagination at one time. You know, you're in a building on a street that was just somebody's imagination, in a city that was once somebody's imagination. It's a part of this thing we call a state or a country that was literally just somebody's imagination.
Uh-huh.
So we're all day living in a world of ideas and a world of imagination that often were the consequences of a conflict or a problem. You know, we invented the wheel because we wanted to be able to get from point A to point B faster than we were able to walk.
Sure.
And so as a result of that problem, if people just looked at it as a problem and ran away from it, the wheel never would have been invented. But of course, somebody looked at it, and instead of running away from the conflict or being turned off by it, they applied an imaginative mind to the situation, and voila, we get the creation of the wheel.
Right.
Well, the same is true of almost every idea that we have in the world. And, of course, the people who are the idea makers are the people who can apply an imaginative mind to a conflict situation or to a situation that looks like there's a problem or a conflict between parties, but, of course, is really just a calling for imagination.
What a wonderful perception, a calling for imagination. So if we recognize that, you know, our perceptions are very partial, and we know that there are places we want to get to because we have either the conflicts or we have the inner inspiration. I think many of us have that inner yearning to express ourselves in new ways. Then you're saying that our imagination is the power that will drive us there.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, that's that. You know, I speak to businesses all the time and talk to a lot of corporate entities. And, you know, one of the messages that I share with them always is, look, you have limited amounts of time. You have limited amounts of people. You have limited amounts of finances, typically. And yet imagination is an unlimited supply. It's a renewable resource. And yet, in companies, we have processes for time management. We have processes for managing people. It's called HR.
Mm-hmm.
We have processes for managing finances. It's called a P&L.
Right.
And yet, when I go around the world and I ask audiences, how many of you in the business that you're in today have a process for cultivating and developing imagination within your business? I rarely see a hand go up, almost never.
Uh-huh.
And yet, it's a currency that today is more important than ever because of the rate of innovation and the rate of change. I mean, we have a company like MySpace that is at one point a billion-dollar company,
mm-hmm.
and 2 years later it's out of business.
Right.
Why? Because Facebook comes along and they're more imaginative.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the currency of imagination is absolutely critical. We have no processes for it. Nobody is really teaching about it. We don't understand it. And yet it's arguably the most important quality that we could certainly learn to develop in our own personal and working life.
Well, you know, Austin, it seems to me that within the context of our culture, oftentimes within the context of the business world, there are risks associated with being imaginative. I think that a lot of people feel like they just have to, follow the norm, be typical. But you have to break outside of that, don't you?
Well, you absolutely do. I mean, ask the executives at Enron or WorldCom or Arthur Andersen or Polaroid or Kodak or any of these companies that have gone out of business, you know, if they wish they would have applied more imagination and taken on that responsibility themselves, because they may not be out of a job today had they been willing to be courageous enough to infuse imagination into their organizations and think differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, is working with companies and helping them understand that what they need to do is ultimately create companies that are imaginative. And there are good examples of that. I mean, Google is a perfect example. If you think about what most people think of as Google, they think of it as a search engine company.
Uh-huh.
And yet Google is coming out with products like Google Glass that allow people to access the internet through their eyeglasses.
Oh,
they're coming
man.
Out with cars that drive themselves. You know, what has that got to do with data collection or search engine?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely nothing. But what Google understands is that at the rate of technology innovation today, if you stay stuck, if you don't cultivate imagination and new ideas, there's a high chance you'll be out of business within 3 to 4 years.
Right. But it seems like there's this sort of a double-edged sword. It's like you don't want to be afraid of going out of business, but you need to be a little bit afraid of going out of business. But also with imagination, you're basically treading into new territory, and so there's an aspect of fear associated with that. How do you balance out those two fears?
Well, that's the biggest, you know, that's probably one of the biggest hurdles that most people, I think, don't understand about imagination, is that it does feel scary. I mean, it's equivalent, I always joke with my audiences when I'm speaking to an audience, you know, it's equivalent to me saying to somebody, hey, come up and show us your dance moves in front of everybody.
Uh-huh.
You know, with no music, or I'm going to put a violin in your hand and I want you to play the violin for everybody in the room. You know, the minute you put that violin in somebody's hand who's never played it before, the brain doesn't know what to do. There are uh-huh. no established neural networks for playing the violin with most of us. And so we pick up this violin, and what are the emotional responses we have? Well, we feel uh-huh. awkward.
Right.
We feel anxiety. We feel discomfort. And yet, those are the very earmarks of what we know is in neuroplasticity is the forging of new neural networks in the brain.
Ah.
Because to learn how to play the violin, of course, the brain has to, and pieces will have to come together to coordinate the hands with the ear and how we're holding the violin and how do we play it. And so in all of this new territory, the brain has to create these new neural networks. And if we practice that skill long enough, of course, we'll become very expert at it and to a point where people would pay us to go listen to us playing the violin. But when we first do it for the first time, it feels awkward, anxious,
mm-hmm.
and just uncomfortable. And yet those are the very feelings and emotional responses that many of us run away from. We put ourselves
sure.
into habits that avoid us feeling those things because we don't like to feel those things.
Uh-huh.
And yet that just takes us away from learning. That takes us away from imagination. And so people need to educate themselves to understand that, no, those feelings are actually good. Those are telling you that you're actually learning something new and making new ground.
That's fabulous. We have got to take a short break, but when we return, more with Austin Vickers.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bond. I'm the wellness coach who shines a light on what you put into your body. You're hearing a lot about gluten these days, how bad it is for you and how you need to avoid it altogether. Wheat is really getting a bad name, so I've come up with some tips to help you avoid becoming gluten intolerant. Number one, avoid all processed foods. Not only are you getting altered wheat, but you're also getting a toxic cocktail of GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, preservatives, and artificial ingredients that can cause anyone to become allergic, not only to gluten, but to all kinds of foods. Number two, when enjoying bread products, make sure they are organic and artisanal if possible, with no soy at all. Soy is linked to leaky gut syndrome, which causes allergies. For more information and to experience an aha moment, join me on my show, The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio, or go to my website, themichellebondshow.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
If you are looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places, a wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia. In Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
I'll be there. So if I decide to waver my chance to be one of the high.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm having a wonderful conversation with Austin Vickers, and I was just thinking about that song Drive by Incubus, and in the song, they're talking about how, you know, many of us continue to be part, you know, like one of the hive, and how we have an opportunity to choose to create by stepping away from that hive and fly in our own direction. And that's what I'm talking to Austin about right now. And in fact, you were talking before the break, Austin, about developing imagination or having priorities to develop the imagination. So can you just reiterate for us, what are those priorities?
Well, I think it's important, you know, once you start to understand how imagination works and the role that it plays, you know, one of the things I do in my training programs and I try to teach people is we know from research and science that there are enemies of imagination and things that create limitations on our imagination.
Such as?
And, well, for example, conformity is one of them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We need a certain amount of conformity, of course, in many of our structures, like organizations or businesses. You can't operate a business without structure, but right. Yet that same structure and that same conformity is also a killer of imagination. And so one of the things when I'm working with businesses I help them to do is to say, look, you've got to learn how to create space and zones for imagination so that within the course of that structure, you can build a structure for a lack of structure, if you will. I know that sounds kind of funny, but what I mean by that is you actually create a time and a place within the business where conformity gets thrown out the window, and what you're asking for is, and what you're really trying to induce with people is putting them in an environment where they feel uncomfortable. Uh-huh. Because we know that in the brain, when people get into uncomfortable environments, that the areas of the brain that are responsible for imagination begin to fire and begin to become more receptive.
Interesting.
And of course, that's what you want to create with people.
Well, I know Brené Brown talks about how essential vulnerability is to creativity. And it sounds like it's the same sort of thing. You have to get to that uncomfortable and vulnerable place for that imagination to fire.
No question. And that's why we teach you know, and why the film, of course, documents the fact that, you know, vulnerability is a consequence of realizing that your perception isn't reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you understand that everything you kind of think about life isn't really right for, you know, out there, that it's just more relevant to who you are. I mean, how can you be anything but vulnerable?
Yes.
Or really, I think, much more humble in terms of your approach to the world, because you realize, well, my perception really doesn't have any more validity than anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the example I always use, for example, is color. Like, imagine, you know, you and your partner in a restaurant, and you see a woman with a lovely shirt that you remark to your partner is a really pretty green, and they say, well, it's, you know, that's not a green shirt, that's a blue shirt.
Right. It's happened many times to me.
Yeah, and you get into this little argument about it. Well, that's not an educated argument to have, because objects don't have color.
Uh-huh.
You know, color is created in the back of the visual cortex. We have little rods and cones in the back of our cortex that interpret light as color. And those rods and cones that you have are as different from your partner as your nose is different.
Right.
And your eyes are different. So even if they see it as green and you see it as blue, the truth is that you're actually both right, because color is created in the individual. It's not created in an object. Objects don't have color. They just reflect light back to us as color. And so, you know, that's the point. Like, once you start to understand the mechanics of perception, how we actually perceive, and that what we're perceiving isn't that real, then of course you're going to be much more open to other people's ideas and imaginations that they have.
Uh-huh.
And when there is a conflict, then of course you're going to try to create common ground by finding an imagination that works for both parties.
Right. Now, in this wonderful movie, The People versus the State of Illusion, you've got this story, and it's interjected with some wonderful scientific minds and you know, philosophers and psychologists who are talking about reality and our perception of reality. Now, this story, one person ends up in a prison cell, correct?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's the story of this guy named Aaron Roberts who, through a number of circumstances and choices that he makes, ends up in prison for 6 years.
And the prison is real in the story, but also you make it really clear that we're all imprisoned within our minds if we choose to be so.
Yeah, the idea for the film actually came out of a visit I took to Alcatraz prison about 8 or 9 years ago. And the guy who was giving us the tour had been a prisoner on Alcatraz for about 25 years. And during one of the breaks when I was speaking with him, he told me, you know, I couldn't tell you how many friends I had who'd served 25 years on Alcatraz Island, would get released from their sentences, go to San Francisco, commit a crime, and intentionally allow themselves to be caught.
Right.
And I remember being so puzzled by that, and I asked him, like, why on earth would they do that? And he said, because as bad as Alcatraz was, at least it felt like home. And the fear of the unknown was worse for those guys than even the fear of living on Alcatraz Island, which was at least familiar to them.
That's amazing.
I remember walking away from that just going, you know, it's, we all have our own prison walls. They may look differently. Like, we aren't in, you know, of course, thankfully, encaptured in Alcatraz Island, but how many of us stay in jobs that we're not passionate about,
yes,
or stay in relationships with people that we're not passionate about, or we've given up our hopes and our dreams and our imaginations because we don't see the path to their fulfillment.
Right.
And that's a prison wall for most of us. And we feel safe and secure in doing what we're doing that we're not passionate about. But of course, that kills our essence. And it, like we document in the film from a medical perspective, it forces us to head towards disease and all kinds of problems that we see manifested in our culture.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I've recognized within myself, Austin, over the past couple of years is when I'm feeling reactive about a situation in my life, it's often because I'm feeling lack of freedom. And I realized, you know, I'm the one who's put up the jail cells here. You know, I'm free to choose whatever thing I want to choose in my life, including my perceptions. So that analogy of jail is, I think, perfect.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, but, you know, that's the beauty, too. If we are the architects of our prisons, which, of course, we are, then we can also deconstruct them. I mean, we have within us the keys of their deconstruction and to find a way out of those prison cells so that we create this freedom and we create imaginations that ultimately, you know, inspire us and make our lives amazing. And so that's, although the sobering news is that we have that responsibility for having created them, there's also a power in that in terms of how to get free.
Yes, and that is inspirational, and I think many of us need to hear that. And, you know, I'm always amazed that we think that there are aspects of our belief system that are just based in truth. And yet, from what you've said and what your experts talk about in the film, most of that's just perception. And we can shift our perception.
Yeah, absolutely. It's literally like looking through a different camera lens. I mean, once you switch your camera lens, what you're looking at appears very different than the way it did before. You know, most humans go through this experience. I mean, the first time a mother has a baby, or, you know, you were just talking about graduation, I think, earlier at the beginning of the show.
Right.
Or somebody gets a new puppy, you know, for the first time. All of a sudden, they start noticing all kinds of commercials on television around dogs and puppies. And they go to Starbucks, and they see, you know, tons of other dogs and new puppies out there that they hadn't really noticed before.
Right.
And in a way, it looks like the world has changed, but of course the world hasn't changed. It's just that they're starting to see now through different eyes, and those different eyes bring a whole new view of life into perspective.
Right. Now, Austin, before we go to another break, can you share with our listeners how they can connect with you?
Sure. The best way to find out about the film, they can watch a trailer on the film and see where our events are, is just going to the website for the film, which is thestateofillusion.com. So it's www.thestateofillusion.com. Or they can go to my own personal website, which is just www.austinvickers.com, all one word. And they'll find out all the products that we have, where our events are, and where the speaking and where the movie's playing and opening next.
Yeah, and so you're still showing the movie in theaters as well, then, is that correct?
We are. It's happening more internationally now, though. I just got back from putting the film in Holland and Canada and South Africa. And the film has got picked up by PBS nationally, so it's actually starting to play on some PBS stations across the country.
That's great.
And
you can order the video online on your website as well.
It is. It's available at Amazon.com. It's available through the website of the film. And we have actually an additional hour of footage. So in addition to the film itself on the DVD, because I couldn't capture all of the science from all of the experts in it, we have an extra hour of footage. So it's almost like getting two movies, really.
Yeah, and the movie is worth watching over and over again because, as I've said before, I get something new out of each time. So we've got to take another quick break, but when we return, more with Austin Vickers.
And hold my own and drive.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com to Inspired Action Radio with Jennifer B., mastering the art of dream building in the real world. This hit show will inspire you to start painting the canvas of your life and bring your unique spirit and your amazingly intelligent mind together to find an incredible, practical, real-world strategy to building a life with epic results. Tune in to Inspired Action Radio with Jennifer B.
The Michael Shane Show. Conversations with the Ascended Masters on Transformation Talk Radio.com on the third and fourth Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. To connect with the Ascended Masters and raise your vibration, call in for a live on-air reading with Michael and the Ascended Masters. Visit MichaelShane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L Shane.com. Or call 800-508-6437 to schedule a full healing session.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio.
The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking to Austin Vickers. And Austin, before the break, we were talking about perception. We were talking about breaking out of our prison cells. One of the things that I'm really fascinated by is how our perception affects our experiences, not just how we're reacting to people, but our actual reality. And there's a great quote in your film by Candace Pert. She says, there is no such thing as reality. Reality is what you make it, and reality is what you choose to pay attention to. You've got an amazing bit of science to back that up in the film. Can you give us an example of how that's actually the case?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we're learning more and more about, we don't totally understand exactly how it happens, but what we are starting to understand is that there is a connection at the quantum level, the quantum field level, that is really kind of beneath the space and time that we're typically capable of observing. And because of that quantum level effect, we can even start to see interactions between things like a person's thoughts and intentions and inanimate objects, things like computers. And we document a study that was done in the film. We have a study that was done by a French researcher named René Pioche, who literally wanted to show the interaction between intention and inanimate objects like machines. Mm-hmm. And he did it with baby chicks in an experiment where they got imprinted against this computer, like a random movement generator that would cause this computerized robot to move randomly. And he built this arena where the RMG could operate randomly, and of course, when he just ran it by itself over like a 12-hour period of time, it covered most of the distance of the arena as you would expect it to.
Right, so it's like this big square, and it's going every which way, and over the course of you know, several hours, it's covered all the territory.
Exactly, but when he hatched baby chicks next to the robot to imprint on them to make the baby chicks think that this robot was its mother, and then he put a cage of these baby imprinted baby chicks next to the arena, the robot actually shifted its movement, and when he ran it for the several hours in the next trial, it moved only in the half of the arena closest to the baby chicks, because the baby chicks had this intention of wanting to be close to its mother that they thought was this RNG computer.
Wow.
And of course, then did the the trial again with baby chicks that had not been imprinted, and of course it went back to being fully random again. So
it's not like the machine needed to be near the chicks. It was the chicks actually sending out that energetic intention to the quantum field, drawing the robot closer to them.
Yeah, exactly. So that even the inanimate object like a computer was actually affected because of the intention of these baby chicks. And of course, I love that study more than anything because baby chicks don't even know they're in a research study.
Exactly. And so, they don't even know that that's their intent. They just feel it because that's sort of what comes naturally for them.
Exactly.
And that's such a great study, too, because, you know, there are a lot of naysayers out there who say, oh, you know, our thoughts don't create our reality. And yet there is that scientific evidence that it's indicating that not only are we shifting our perceptions and how we react to things, but we can be influencing what gets drawn to us.
Well, I think the confusion comes about because people confuse intention with belief. And they think, you know, if I just intend to have $100,000 show up or get that parking spot at the supermarket, that it ought to happen.
Right.
And that was kind of a misperception around, you know, this law of attraction that has been popularized in the media for the last few years.
Right.
But the law of attraction in the quantum field doesn't respond to just intention. It responds to belief.
Yes.
So in the study of the baby chicks, they truly believed it was their mother, and they wanted to be close to it. So the intention matched an underlying belief. Well, if my intention to create $100,000 in my life is matched by a belief that I somehow am lacking abundance in my life and I need this money in order to be happy or successful, then the law of attraction is going to respond to my belief, not the intention.
Right.
And that's the problem, I think, is a lot of people misunderstand that, and they think, well, it just goes to what my thoughts are, or my intentions. But no, it goes much deeper than that.
Yes,
and we talk about that at length in the movie.
And Dr. Joe Dispenza talked about this on my show a few weeks ago about how you have to have both the thoughts, that intention, the mental clarity of the intention, along with the emotions that are actually supportive of that. And the example you're just giving me was, you know, the emotions of not being worthy, whatever, that actually is in conflict with that intention. But in order
exactly.
to attract it electromagnetically, you have to engage both. And so there are the chicks who think, I want mommy near me. Okay, mommy looks like a robot, but mommy's getting closer and closer. But they've also got that sort of emotionality associated with it to really draw that reality to them.
Absolutely. It has a much more powerful effect on the quantum field. And then, of course, that's why you see a quantum effect, even with an inanimate object like a machine.
Yes. Fascinating stuff here. Austin, can you share with our listeners again what your websites are?
Sure. The website for the film is www.thestateofillusion.com. And they can find out about the movie and order it online if they want to, as well as where the movie is opening up and showing. And then my own personal website and where I'm speaking often is at www.austinvickers.com.
Okay, so the stateofillusion.com and austinvickers.com. Now, Austin, do you have any events coming up in the near future?
I do. We've got some events coming up in Florida. I'll be in Florida at the end of the month in Sarasota and Jacksonville. I'm going to be showing the film at a yoga festival in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
I just got recently invited to speak with Richard Branson and Kofi Annan at the Nelson Mandela Leadership Institute in South Africa. So
wonderful.
I'll be going down there in July. And yeah, it's all on the website.
That's great. Thanks so much for joining me here today, Austin. You've got some really wonderful insights to share.
Thank you so much, Christine, for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure. I've loved our conversation.
Great. Thanks. Me too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, for those of you who are in the Seattle area or who are inspired to fly into Seattle this time of year, I want to give you an update about something that's going on at my center next week. June 21st in the evening and June 22nd all day long, so Friday evening, Saturday all day, at my center, Stellar Reflections, I've got Holly Hawkins Marwood, who's going to be there. She's going to be teaching how to read the Akashic Records. And she was on my show last week. If you've got any questions about it, I'd say listen to the archive there, because these Akashic Records, when you're accessing them, not only can you get all sorts of illuminating information to help you determine, you know, what's your best choice, what are the nuances of the relationship, what's really going on here. But by accessing the records, it helps you to heal on a new level and come to peace with the perfection of things. So if you're inspired to learn how to read the Akashic Records, either for yourself, for your family and friends, or if you'd like to do it professionally, she's going to be training us to do that there at Stellar Reflections, June 21st and 22nd. Okay, next week's show, I've got business consultant, speaker, mentor, author, and catalyst for truth, Cindy Silbert. She's going to share ways to awaken the power of your true self. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for joining me here today, and I hope to connect with you all next week.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio. A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. We'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.